You are listening to www.interlinking.org.
My question, I just want to do a little riff here. I have three areas I want to cover, but I think I'll just try and cover two and let you go into your answer with that.
Okay.
The general category is about ranking.
Yeah.
And how adept you are at your storytelling, going through the levels.
Yeah.
And telling your story that way. And we as students, it's really crucial that we learn to get our rankings accurate in the ballpark.
Yeah.
So the one thing that, at least from a beginner standpoint, to me seems to be some version of the psychograph.
Yeah.
So the first part of the question is there some type of psychograph tool that will be made available to the Fielding and the JFK students at some point? And then the second part of that, I'd like you to talk about the psychograph as you see it and what state it's in and its availability for the group of us, for the network as it's
Sure.
And then I also noticed in your storytelling today, you did just mention teal and yellow, but typically you concentrate on turquoise and you go between green and turquoise. I hope you would just kind of describe a little bit of, you know, it would seem from the spiral dynamics perspective, that momentous leap from green to yellow is what we're taught in that area.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal to get green to yellow.
Yeah.
But you seem to not include that in a lot of your general storytelling, so I'm just curious to address that too.
Yeah, and let me just ask that part briefly, and then we'll get into the larger questions. I generally use turquoise as just a catch-all phrase for second tier. And we have to remember sort of two things about developmental studies, and they sound almost contradictory, almost opposite. One is they are probably the single most important element of an integral view that we have to use, because they are the single component universally left out. And yet it answers so much stuff, it's just unbelievable. So
developmental studies are the single most important thing we have, and also really just almost tell us nothing in a certain sense. We have to remember how very loose this concept of stage and structure is.
Yes.
And just to give the example I always use is the two strongest structural developmental models we have are Piaget and Kohlberg. And yet to score Kohlberg, if you're at stage four, means you give 50% of your answers from stage four, 25% from stage five, 25% from stage three.
Right.
So even though the actual structures themselves often are, you know, very different, and if 25% of you is at stage five, it's going to disagree with a 50% of you that's at stage four and so on. But it's a very loose concept. To say you're at stage four really means it's kind of like a probability cloud. And that's how I actually define, I technically define a structure as a probability to behave in a certain way. And that's exactly what it is. And internally, it's the same kind of thing. Nobody sits around and rigidly thinks orange thoughts all day.
Right.
It's all over the place. And so trying to really draw a sharp wedge between some of these things is very difficult. Now, there are a couple of markers between yellow and turquoise in Claire Graves' work in spiral dynamics that can help you sort of get an alert to whether you're working with systems at yellow or systems at turquoise. And basically, yellow is secular and turquoise is spiritual. It's sort of the single simplest way to see the difference. And the way I explain it is people at turquoise are really getting very close to third tier and they just can't keep it out. So the most common, probably the single most common recurrent idea turquoise is Gaia is a single living organism and I'm part of it. And that's a very common kind of statements. Yellow is sort of kind of all business and kind of secular and it really is just kind of a systems theorist in drag. But for me, they're basically low and high vision logic. And so I just use vision logic to mean second tier generally.
Right, and you also, beginning or entering vision logic happens at the green altitude, correct?
Well, now, what you call vision logic is really just semantic. And normally what I've done is I used to define, I've had a small change in this, I used to define vision logic as anything that was post-formal. In other words, anything that was post-orange. In other words, green, yes. Green was low, and then yellow was middle, and turquoise was high vision logic. But I've come to just, so many people think of vision logic in the integral part of it. And so I've just said, okay, let's just call vision logic second tier. second-tier cognition. So I've redefined that and use it as basically yellow and turquoise is low and high vision logic.
Okay. That's
and green is just now it's part, because it is part of first tier, and it was just getting kind of hard to have green and yellow and turquoise all being used together.
But
technically, they're all post-formal, so that's also true.
That's helpful.
Okay.
That clears up the absence of teal. Now I understand how you're using turquoise in a subtle refinement there.
That's right. But it is what we're really looking at is the leap from green to teal.
Right. Right.
And sometimes I also, if I just say green and turquoise, it's because sometimes people are on the call and they don't know what teal is.
Right.
And they get confused. So I just say green and turquoise. But technically, we're looking at the leap from green to yellow, green to teal.
Right. That's clear. Thank you. And
yeah.
Then the circle back to the cycle.
On the cyclograph.
Or a tool, some sort of metrics that we as a group will employ and do variations and refinements on. What is the status
right.
of that from your perspective?
Right. Well, what we need indeed are tools, and what we also need is an advertising agency for hierarchy, because it's been completely misunderstood, just absolutely radically completely misunderstood. And so the way we do it is we'd usually introduce and tell the story by saying there are two kinds of hierarchies. There are growth hierarchies or actualization hierarchies, and there are dominator hierarchies. And I'll tell you, since this is just between us, I'll tell you a little gossipy story, because this is a funny story. I always credit that to Rayanne Eisler, because you can find it in her, it's a footnote in her book on the Childs of the Blade. And the reason it's in a footnote there is I wrote that footnote. And the reason I wrote that footnote is she submitted her manuscript to Shambhala. And they sent it to me to review. And I gave the worst review of anything I've read. It's the most flatland disaster of a book I had seen. It was horrible. And she totally misunderstood hierarchy. She had no concept of growth. It was just a wreck. And I wrote her and said, I don't know what to do with this. I mean, all you talk about is dominator hierarchies. And it just, the percentage of hierarchies that are dominator in the cosmos is, less than 0.01%. I mean, everything else is atoms to molecules to cells. All organisms grow like that. You just completely screwed it up. And I wrote this two-paragraph explanation of dominator hierarchies and actualization hierarchies. And she made a footnote in her book and said, there, I've taken care of that. But she didn't change a thing in her book. But I always credit her because she's got sterling credentials. Even according to Rayanne Eisler, there are two kinds of hierarchies. And so I do that. So a little on the side, sorry. But growth hierarchies, they don't get smaller at the top. They get bigger. They get more inclusive. They're the opposite of every single thing that's ever been said about them. So one of the best things I did was, tell a different story about and use different terms. We go from egocentric to ethnocentric to worldcentric, that kind of thing. And also, referring to them as waves and streams and not levels and lines. All of these things, it sounds odd, but it's really just a little semantic shifts and kind of PR stuff that you do. It makes such a huge difference. And then I changed to holarchy. And holarchies, nested hierarchies, are indeed the means of growth. And what you see in the higher you go is the more inclusive the consciousness. And again, this is an absolute story. I mean, I think PhD thesis could be written on this in a different voice, Carol Gilligan. And she had two messages in that book. And the green and green feminists consistently didn't even hear or report the second message. The second message was men and women both grow through a growth hierarchy, a moral hierarchy. And she called her stages, Kohlberg's, of course, were pre-conventional, conventional, and post-conventional. And Gilligan believed that women reach moral decisions reasoning in a different way, in a different voice, and that they use basically terms of care and relationship and not terms of autonomy and justice. And so she did a pilot study with something like 8 women, and that's it. That's the sum total of what it was. And she said that they go through the same stages of moral development. In other words, women go through the same hierarchy, but they don't think hierarchically. Men go through a hierarchy, and they think hierarchically. So her conclusion was that her three stages were selfish care and universal care. That's the egocentric, ethnocentric, and worldcentric. She's added a fourth stage, which is integrated. And I'm fine with all of that. But so she had two messages, and that's that women's non-hierarchical thinking goes through hierarchical stages, just like men's. And the feminists reported the first, which is women don't have hierarchy, they don't think hierarchically, there are no hierarchies anywhere. The hierarchies are all bad, they're all men. And hierarchy is patriarchal and fascist and bad. And right there, they are catastrophically wrong. And they've never really corrected themselves. So she has been consistently mistreated, misreported, mishandled. And I think it's just absolutely telling that Green can't read that book correctly. Because your value structure determines what you see. It brings forth the phenomena that you will register. So what we need, a psychograph, is a study in the higher on the psychograph, the more inclusive you are, the less marginalizing you are, the greater compassion, care, and consciousness that you have. So do you want to be high on a hierarchy? Absolutely. Are the lower stages of a hierarchy not a good place to be? Yes, they're not a good place to be. So we basically have to deal with that PR difficulty, and psychograph as a tool is a measurement of how close your consciousness is to being one with everything. It's that simple.
Right.
And where people then get confused is that the number of people on the higher stages often gets smaller because it's harder to get up there. And people confuse that. They get confused there. They think, oh, well, you want to take the values of a small number of people and impose them on everybody else. And the correct answer is, well, yes. But you can't say that.
Right.
And that's what sustainability is about. You want to take the values of a small number of people and impose them on the world? Yes. But you can't say that in today's world. That's what's so catastrophically ironic about Green.
So the politics of the psychograph as a tool that we're going to be using, presumably in the decades ahead, are really in their infancy at this stage. There's privacy issues with the data and what's revealed, what's not revealed. And I guess you guys are just scratching the surface on all of that.
It's a hard one because there's no question but that as soon as you introduce, you know, and ranking itself, you know, it's a bad term. But what we're ranking is your capacity to not rank people. In other words, to not judge them in a harsh way. What we're ranking is your capacity to love. What we're ranking is how many people you will actually consider part of your fabric of being versus how many people you will see as an other, as a Boo Radley.
Right.
And so it's really an astonishingly positive thing. But what will happen is that as soon as you introduce that, then somebody at red, somebody at amber, somebody at orange, somebody at green will start using it in a bad way. So as soon as this gets out, what will happen, for example, in businesses where you say, well, we want to try to have an integral management, an integral awareness, and therefore we're really looking for teal and turquoise managers, and then the big bad cuss word will be, you're green. And we see that. I see it all the time around here.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, that was green. You go, oh, yeah, okay. We have to be really careful about that because turquoise sees green. It doesn't see a bad thing. It simply sees something that has to be enveloped in a certain way. If orange sees green, it sees an enemy. And so that's what's going to happen is that these things will be you. People will rank people, and they will do it until they hit teal. And so it doesn't matter what you give them, they'll use it.
Right.
And we can't stop that. I mean, green tried to get rid of ranking altogether. And what was the worst thing you could say if you're green to somebody else? You're ranking. And notice they had a ranking system. And the cuss word became, well, you're a ranker, or you're hierarchical, or whatever. And so people will do that. They will judge other people negatively. And green started out and said, we will have no negative judgments. That's what we don't do. Except we hate orange, we hate it. So performative contradiction is what it's called.
Right, and that's a metric then of teal emerging then, as embrace, dominator and actualization, hierarchical distinction, so on.
Yep, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. It's one of the real things that we definitely have to work with and definitely be aware of. And about the only thing you can do is sort of what I try to do, which is just really constantly keep these issues in the foreground. And what we're doing, if you're using hierarchies correctly, you're never going to see another. And if you're not using it correctly, you're going to use a hierarchy as a tool to rank.
Right.
And that's just kind of how it goes. And psychographs can be very helpful, but you also raise a really important issue, which is in the information age, could this information be used in a negative fashion?
Right.
And in a sense, it can, but you see, it's much harder. I mean, what are you going to do if you're a bad guy and you find out, you know, somebody is green? I mean, what does that mean if you're a bad guy? If you're going to not promote them to the turquoise job? I mean, you're not, if you're a bad guy, you're not interested in that at all. I mean, if you're some fascist dominator, you know, Southern police sheriff who's going to lock up, you know. I mean, what is he going to do? It's just, it doesn't make any sense. The people that would use that information in a negative way are the people that aren't interested in the information. So I don't see it being that horrid an issue, although it's going to be an issue.
Yes. So just finally then, does the psychograph exist as a discrete tool today, or is it really different modules from culled from different areas right now?
Say that again, because that sounds fascinating. I'm not sure I quite got the answer.
Right. I'm trying to discern what the psychograph as a tool, as a artifact, is in 2006. Does it exist as a single integral university-approved tool, or is it really just still modular in the sense that it's the Lovinger piece, it's the Graves piece, it's the Kohlberg piece?
Oh, I see. Wow. Great question. It's kind of both, I guess, I know, which would mean it's probably a little bit between those two extremes. It's not quite a full-fledged tool, but it's not just lying around modularly. We've even introduced at JFK something that we call, what's the latest name on it? It was the Indigo Award. What's the latest terminology, Sean?
Yeah, that's what we're calling it.
Okay. And it was done in dead seriousness and with a pinch of facetiousness, which is many universities have a minority outreach program. And when they asked me what I wanted to outreach to, I said people that are indigo. And we actually created an Indigo Award. And it's actually formally an actual award now. And I love it. I hope every single university does that. And we test for it. We use a Lovinger test and test for it. It's one of the prerequisites, not the only one. There are lots of other ways you can tell. And so, in a sense, that's a psychographic award.
Right.
But it's a very serious thing. So it's not just a modular thing.
Okay.
And what I would like to see it as, of course, is I think the psychograph is a beautiful thing. And like I say, it's a measure of our progress towards being one with everything that's arising.
Right.
And it's an extraordinary, fascinating story. I don't think there's more interesting story around it. It dwarfs the Cosmos story. I mean, it's Cosmos with a K. And that Cosmos story has never been told, well, I guess outside of my work. But as a uniform story, starting from the Big Bang, going all the way through turquoise so far, it's just unbelievable. And you can tell that story in all four quadrants. And nobody's told the internal story of it. But that internal story goes through, you know, sensations and perceptions from all the way up to where it starts to actually become self-aware. And that tends to be somewhere around red, and somewhere around orange, it becomes self-reflectively aware of itself. Evolution becomes aware of evolution. And by the time it gets to turquoise, evolution is self-consciously understanding that it's embracing the entire universe, entire cosmos. And so it's a beautiful tool. Ranking is such a harsh word. I mean, this is ranking how much of God is internal to your awareness, if you want to do it that way. But it's astonishing. And so it's not just that consciousness is doing this in one line, because we have at least a dozen multiple intelligences. Then consciousness pushes forth in all of those. It's like pushing forth feelers, like an amoeba pushing out different arms or legs as it goes into new territory. And that's what consciousness does. And consciousness, by consciousness, I mean empty, open spirit, ever-present awareness, that texture of what we're all feeling right now. And that God presence, which is the only thing we're all feeling right now, is a variation of God, a variation of presence. But some of us don't realize that. And so we have God presence presses into new territory of awakenedness. And that's what the evolution story, the real cosmos story, is all about. But it does so in these different lines. When we took back and we look on them, we say, oh, well, okay, there's a cognitive line, and there's a moral line, and there's a kinesthetic line, and there's an artistic line. Michael Jordan is someplace past indigo. I mean, I don't even know what he's doing. It's not even a role model for that. On the kinesthetic line. And then others are pushing through on the mathematical, logical line. And others on the cognitive line, others on music. And so we can track that just simply because it's fun to do that. At least one developmental line likes to do that. So So we do, and that's what the psychograph is. And you don't have to, nobody actually has 12 legs all in turquoise. It just doesn't work that way, and it's not necessary. That's not what we mean by integral. We mean integrally informed. And any one of those legs, cognitive, interpersonal, moral, kinesthetic, artistic, can push into second tier and third tier. And so the psychograph is a measure of two glorious things. And one is the degree that you are moving towards cosmic consciousness, and then what your talent is that's going to do that. And maybe you have two talents, if you're lucky, or three. And that's the beauty of a psychograph, is a measure of these aspects of yourself that are most awake to God presence. And then you can use that if you want to practice, or some people prefer to really exercise their talent. And other people find that they have some really glaring inadequacies, and they have to at least address that, or at very least be aware of it. And don't pretend you're a genius in a particular area. You get in a whole lot of trouble. But that's a psychograph as a tool. An Indigo Award is simply an award recognizing one of those legs pushing into a particular altitude, which is extremely rare right now and needs to be encouraged. It's very, very fragile. And so it's a way to protect that fragileness, and that's what we want to do. But that's the beauty of a psychograph.
You are listening to www.integralnaked.org.